Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART Seattle recorded 18 episodes of a lost I Love a Mystery, Terror at Frozen Corpse Launch. Here's episode 9, Who is the Dead Man in Gail's Bed?
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. O'clock on a frozen, snow-choked morning, with the drifts up to the second-story windows of the J. Irving Stark Hunting Lodge, high and isolated in the Sierras, somewhere on the California-Nevada border. Snowbound in Frozen Corpse Lodge, and more of the white crystallized stuff coming down relentlessly. White, freezing death, without and within the lodge. Death by murder. Death by an assassin's knife. First to be stabbed in the back in the vicinity of the lodge was Philip Ogden, longtime friend of Gail Stark, and the fourth young man to receive a friendly kiss from Gail only to be murdered within the past 2 months. Next to die was Mansfield, the ancient butler, who had information concerning the killer but never got the chance to reveal it. His body was found frozen in the snow this morning when Jones, the new butler, was helping P.O. the caretaker tunnel from the lodge to the stables. Those left in the lodge include J. Irving Stark, apparently wealthy but actually entirely dependent on the money of his stepdaughter Gail. Gail is the one who invited Jack, Doc, and Jerry Booker to the lodge for this weekend after she had kissed three men, and they had died suddenly and violently within 24 hours. And then there is Bruce Garrett, wealthy and eccentric fiancé of Gail, not at all the kind of a man Gail would be expected to marry. Jack has offered this theory, that there is some dirty work between J. Irving and Bruce Garrett, and that Gail is marrying Garrett to save her stepfather. None of the three will say a word. Then there is A.J. Ben, who came to the lodge in a snowstorm, said he was lost, and asked for a night's lodging. Shortly after his arrival, the phone and radio were smashed, cutting the lodge off from the world, and just a few moments ago he demonstrated that he carried two guns and was capable of using both. This was in the trophy room, where he was being questioned with J. Irving, Bruce Garrett, P.O., and the new butler, Jones. Suddenly, the two girls, Jerry Booker and Gail, cried out from the second floor. There was another dead man. He was in Gail's room, lying on her bed.
Another dead man! What is it? What have I done?
Hey, Jack! Doc! Get up here, quick!
Come on, Jack!
What is this murderer that's following me?
Never mind that. Where's the body?
Well, it's in Gail's room, there.
This is Gail's room. Right in here, Jeff. You two girls, stay out of here.
Okay.
Doggone. Looky here, Jack.
Another frozen corpse, huh?
No kidding. Can you get the picture of somebody sneaking up here with a frozen body and dumping it on Gail's bed and scaring out of here? Well? That all you got to say?
He's been dead some time.
Oh, you can tell that, can you? Or did you overhear Jack say that?
No, I just came to the door as you saw me. Just as I said.
What else can you tell us about him?
Well, the way his throat looks, I'd say he was probably strangled. You're
doing fine. Keep talking.
Yes. And the manner in which bits of straw are frozen to his outer garments and his hands, I'd say he'd been hidden in the stable, at least in a hay pile.
Hey, that's right, Jack.
Uh-huh.
What else, Ben?
Why just offhand?
Who is he?
Why, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Yes, you do.
What do you mean by that, Packard?
Simply that the expression on your face when you looked down at him gave you away.
You misread my expression, I assure you.
I know better than that.
Compassion. Yes, I never look at a man with the life gone out of his body that I don't feel compassion. What's left is so helpless, so opened any man's gaze so entirely at the disposal of anyone's whim.
It's covering up very nicely, but I still think you know who this man was.
I'm sorry, I wish it were possible to tell you.
Am I to interpret that to mean that you do know, but that you won't tell?
Don't try to put words into my mouth, Packard. You'll only confuse yourself that way.
Where did you leave the other man?
Mr. Stark and Bruce Garrett are at the head of the stairs, with your secretary and Miss Stark. I imagine Theo and the butler Jones are on the stairs, too.
Doc?
Yeah?
Call them in here one at a time.
For identification?
Yes.
How about the girls?
Yes.
Okay. They ain't a-going like it.
Look, Ben, who are you anyway? What are you up to in this out-of-the-way place?
You're making a mistake asking me that, Packard.
I am?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jerry, but Jack says you got it.
Well, if you got it, you got it. But I can name six other things I'd rather do.
Right in here. Rob Jerry first.
Why me, Jack? You know doggone well I won't know him.
Everyone's going to have a look, just to be sure. Okay, just a glance.
Oh, golly Moses.
Know him?
No, of course not.
Okay, go wait outside. Where's Doc?
He went to get the next victim.
Now just get a hold of yourself, Miss Stark.
But Jack, I don't want to. I don't want to. Please, do I have to?
Right here. Just one little look, and it'll be over.
If it's somebody I know, I just can't stand anymore.
Now then, please.
Oh.
Yeah, catch her, Doc.
Oh, got her. Oh, folded up like an accordion.
No, I haven't fainted. I just got dizzy.
Well, honey, just you cuddle up in my arms till you get your strength back.
I don't mean to be so silly.
Oh, well, pleasure's all mine, and you ain't any heavier in a minute.
Put that girl down.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Bruce Garrett, the glamour boy.
Put Gail Stark down on her feet.
Bruce, please. It's just that I got so sick with...
Are you going to put her down or...
Or what, sport?
Please put me down, Doc. I'm all right now.
Of course you ain't all right. You ought to lay down somewhere.
That girl's my fiancée, and I won't have her in anyone else's arms.
Doc, put me down.
Okay. Oh, don't struggle. There you are. You see, you ain't got the strength of a cat in your legs.
I've got to get out of here before I disgrace myself. Please, quick.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, it's about time I took over.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah. Let's you and me go lock ourselves in a bathroom.
You great big $5 million worth of bad manners and filthy disposition. I hope you're satisfied.
Cut it out, Doc.
Well, he is for my money. Bruce Garrett, the millionaire. Bruce Garrett, the boil on the neck of society, if you ask me.
You and I are going to have a showdown before this is over, Long.
You bet we are. Unless you sneak out on me, which I would not be surprised.
Hold me, Garrett.
Get out of my way.
I said take it easy.
Put that gun away.
Yeah, Ben, you're getting awful handy with them guns of yours. Put them up. I can take care of a dozen Bruce Garretts.
Did you see what Garrett took out of his pocket when he started for you?
Huh? Out of his pocket?
Open your right hand, Garrett.
What do you think you're getting away with here?
Open your hand. I'll give you the count of three. One, two, fit. Now, hand it to Packard.
Well, I'll be a hippinosaurus. A busted neck of a beer bottle.
Yes. If he'd slashed down your face with the jagged edges of this broken glass, you'd never look the same.
So that's the kind of fight you want, is it? With busted bottle tops. And I suppose you bite and gouge and scratch, too.
Well, take your hand off me.
Yeah, just don't forget you named it. Me and you's got a showdown coming up. Now get the heck out of here.
Just a minute, Garrett.
Well, what do you want?
Come over here and have a look at this body.
Oh, more high-powered detective stuff, huh?
Look at his face.
Oh, ghastly.
You know him?
No, and if I ever had, I wouldn't admit it now.
What's that mean?
Well, anything is vulgarly horrible and distorted, I would feel unclean to admit ever having associated with it. Even breathing air in the same room. You don't need me anymore.
Okay, go on. But wait for us out in the hallway.
Yes, of course.
Kind of softened up there at the end.
Uh-huh. Go to the door and call Mr. Stark.
Yeah. You're next, Mr. Stark. Right over yonder.
Right on the bed.
This is bitterly distressing, Packard.
It isn't exactly my idea how to spend a weekend. Do you know this man?
You know, Packard, it's incredible that so many persons I have never laid eyes on before should come to my lodge here in the mountains to die violently.
Then you don't know this man.
I do not.
And yet he must have died not later than a week ago. Who's here at the lodge a week ago?
Why,
were you?
Why, yes. I'm up here almost every weekend all winter.
And the caretaker?
Yes, Pio's here the year round. And Mansfield.
How about Bruce Garrett?
Why, yes.
And Gail?
No. Yes, she was too, but only overnight last week.
Then the only persons who were here a week ago when this man must have been killed are Jones, the new butler, and Doc, Jerry Booker, and myself.
Don't forget me, Packard.
Oh, yes, and Ben here, although you may have been around at that.
What's this?
For all we know, you may have been hanging around the lodge.
Yes, as far as you know, that's true, isn't it?
Quite true, Stark.
Yes?
Oh, look, get an old blanket we can wrap the corpse in.
Yes, I will.
What are we going to do with it, Jack?
As soon as everyone's had a chance to identify it, we'll put it out in the tool shed behind the lodge with Philip Ogden and old Mansfield.
We're getting quite a collection, ain't we?
Get Jones in here.
Yeah. Jones are coming up. Hi, Jones. Your next sport. Right in with you.
Why all this job's been so far, is it identifying dead bodies?
Well, that's easy work if a man can get it.
Take a look, Jones.
Oh, suffering cats, Mr.
You know him?
I've never seen him before in my life, but my gosh, I wouldn't wish a death like that on my worst enemy. What happened to him?
Oh, that's mostly because he's been frozen for a week.
Yeah? That's the way a guy gets?
We didn't get you in here to discuss the condition of the corpse. You sure you never saw him before?
If I ever did, I sure wouldn't recognize him now. Can I go now?
Just stand back over there with Mr. Ben. I want you to help Pio take it down to the tool shed when we're finished.
Me? Touch that critter? Not me, mister. No, sirree.
Be wrapped up in a blanket.
Here, will this do, Packard?
Oh, yes, thanks. Give it to Jones.
Huh? What's this for?
To wrap the body in. Jones, take it.
Ugh, dead, flame shroud. And to think I run away from home to get out of working in a meatpacking plant.
Don't get it so big, Jones. Everything's going to be all right. You ready for P.O., Jack?
Okay, call him in.
Okay, P.O.
For my goodness sakes, you are ready for P.O. at last?
Yep, we're ready for P.O. at last. Okay, right in with you.
See? Who is dead now, senor?
Suppose you tell us. Here.
Mano diablo, this man has been dead for a long time, no?
Yes. Who is he?
You ask me, who is he?
Yes.
But I do not know, senor.
You sure about that?
Well, sure, but of course I'm sure. Did I not say I do not know this man?
Uh-huh. Look at his clothes.
See?
Somebody had him hidden away in the barn, looks like.
See? Straw frozen to his clothes.
The stable is your department, isn't it, P.O.?
Well, see, I am one who take care of horses. I am one who pitch the hay and clean out the stable. I am one.
And you've been working around the barn for a week and haven't seen anything of this body before?
No, senor. This is first time I see body.
Who do you think brought the body up here and dumped it on Miss Stark's bed?
Somebody with very sinful heart, I bet you. Somebody who was one bad fellow.
You know, P.O., I'm getting more and more interested in your stable out there.
It's not my stable. It's Mr. Stark's stable.
Jones, bring that blanket over here.
Yeah, but don't expect me to touch that.
Here, give it to me. We'll wrap it up and put it down the tool shed with the others. And then you know what we're going to do, P.O.?
No, senor.
We're going to go down and explore the stable.
It's barely cold out, Packard, and still snowing.
You have any objections, Stark?
No. No, certainly not.
I had tunnels to drift against tunnels and had dug path to stable, so it would be no trouble.
Good. Okay, roll them over onto the blanket, Doc.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, wait.
What?
Look it. Lock it on a little silver chain around his neck.
Ay, mamacita mia. His little silver locket.
Quiet, everybody. Ben, did you shoot off those guns?
Yeah, somebody threw something through the window. I shot before I thought.
What did you shoot at?
I saw something dark bobbing up and down in the snow out there.
Jack, look here.
What?
That silver locket on the chain? It's gone. Somebody yanked it off of his neck.
Ay, mama diablo. This is work of devil, you bet.
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Here's a word from our sponsor.
Why, hello, Mr. Wizard.
Hi, Mr. Peddler.
What brings you in today, Mr. Wizard? Usually your wife does the shopping.
Yes, I'm afraid the old witch is under the weather, so she sent me out to pick up a few things.
Well, then, what can I get for you, Mr. W?
Oh, she gave me a list. Let's see. Her handwriting's so bad. Eye of Todd and Tongue of Newt. Or is it Eye of Toad and Tongue of Newt? I'd better get both. Serpent's tooth?
Ah, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child.
Oh, yes. Oh, a thankless child.
I'm afraid I'm all out.
Well, I guess that nephew of my wife will have to do. He's about as thankless as they come. Let's see. Wig of dragon? No, wing of dragon and chicken soup. Oh, and a tub of earwax.
Earwax?
Well, that's for me. Her constant complaints are getting on my nerves.
Ah, what you need is something to keep her occupied. How about a magazine? I've got Spells and Potions Monthly, Modern Crone, or Wicked World.
Oh, she subscribes to all those.
Or maybe some podcasts.
Now, there's an idea. You got any podcasts?
Quit carrying them. The web is chock-a-block with podcasts. Try AmericanRadioTheater.org.
Oh, let me write that down. AmericanRadioTheater.ogre.
No. It's .org. If you try O-G-R-E, who knows what you'll get.
Oh, great. Oh, I'd better take the earwax, just in case.
Very good. Shall I put it on your account?
Oh, yes. And thanks for the podcast information.
Oh, sure. I hope Mrs. Wizard is feeling better soon.
Oh, you and me both, Mr. Peddler. You and me both.
Here's episode 10, The Missing Locket.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. O'clock on a frozen, snow-choked morning, with the drifts up to the second-story windows of the J. Irving Stark Hunting Lodge, high and isolated in the Sierras, somewhere high on the California-Nevada border. Snowbound in Frozen Corpse Lodge, and more of the white crystallized stuff coming down relentlessly. White, freezing death without and within the lodge. Death by murder. Death by an assassin's knife. First to die in the vicinity of the lodge was Philip Ogden, longtime friend of Gail Stark, and the fourth young man to receive a friendly kiss from Gail, only to be murdered. Next was Mansfield, the ancient butler, who had information concerning the killer, but never got the chance to reveal it. His body was found frozen in the snow this morning when Jones, the new butler, was helping P.O., the caretaker, tunnel from the lodge to the stables. Those left in the lodge include Jones, the new butler, P.O., the caretaker, J. Irving Stark, apparently wealthy but actually entirely dependent on the money of his stepdaughter Gail. And then there is Bruce Garrett, wealthy and eccentric fiancé of Gail. Was there some dirty work between J. Irving and Bruce Garrett to get Gail to marry Garrett to save her stepfather? Then there is A.J. Ben, who came to the lodge saying he had lost his way in the snowstorm. He carried two guns and knew how to use them. Just a few minutes ago, an unidentified man was found in Gail's room, lying on her bed, strangled to death. They might have identified the man by a locket on a chain about his neck, but A.J. Ben created a distraction by firing a gun through the window. In the confusion, the locket disappeared.
All right. Put your clothes back on.
See, I should think so.
Them's mighty pretty long red woolly underwear you're wearing, P.O.
Such disgrace.
Well, at least you're convinced that none of us has the silver locket, I suppose, Packard.
You don't have it now, but that doesn't say someone didn't have it.
Yeah, probably heaved it out the window into the snow, and that busted window's letting in a lot of cold air, if you ask me.
Here, Jones, take that blanket and fasten it over the window.
Do you mind if I get my galoshes up over my shoulders first?
Well, hurry.
This is the dead blandest butler job I ever hoped to have. Here, give me that blanket.
I don't think I like your attitude, Jones.
I don't like your hunting lodge. Okay, mister, get out from in front of the window so as I can hang up this blanket and keep out the snow. What are you looking at, anyway?
Yeah, what's the matter, Jack?
I was just noticing there's no glass on the inside windowsill or on the floor.
Huh?
Proving that the window was broken from the inside.
From the inside?
Exactly. And that our friend Ben here was lying when he said someone outside broke the window and that he saw him and shot at him.
Those are pretty harsh words, Packard.
I want to know the truth, Ben. You deliberately broke the window and shot off your revolver to take our attention from the silver locket, didn't you?
Yeah, it's hardly a thing a man would be likely to confess to.
Look at Mr. A.J. Ben, the mystery man. How'd you like a good jab in the kisser?
Cut it out, Doc.
You mean you're gonna let this here smart aleck keep on playing circus with us the way he been a-doing?
Maybe Ben gave us more information than he intended when he put on his gunplay.
Huh? How you figure?
Well, now we know that at least one of this group of men in this room, Stark, P.O., Jones, and Ben, are in on this killing business.
Senor Parker!
Shut up, P.O.
Son of my gun, senor!
P.O.? Now then, we know even more than that. We know that Ben was standing alone at the other side of the room and could not have grabbed the silver locket himself.
You're quite right.
So one of those grouped around the bed looking down at the dead man must have done so. And they include Stark, P.O., and our new butler, Jones.
Well, you searched me from the skin out, so as if I got it, I must edit.
See, me also. I must have edit.
I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the fact that there must be a partnership in this business. A partnership between Ben and one of you three men.
Don't look at me. I know nothing about this business.
I didn't say you did, Stark. But the instant Ben began to shoot and our eyes fastened on him, somebody whipped the locket off the dead man's neck right under our noses. That was fast work, and I might add, as neat a job of teamwork as you could ask for.
Look, Jack, things being the way they are, how about putting a pair of handcuffs on Mr. A.J., which ain't his right name, Ben, and locking him up?
No, I don't think so.
That way we'd at least have one of them out of the way. What's the matter with the idea?
You want to take him on? Two guns and all?
Why not? We get right down to it, we could probably get just as tough as Mr. Ben. Shuckins, we've only been scuffling around so far.
Personally, I'm much more interested in Ben's partner in crime.
Huh? Well, one's as bad as the other, ain't he?
Maybe.
Well, let's look him over. Stand up together there, you three.
Here, what's this high-handed business?
Here, P.O., stand up here beside Mr. Stark.
For my goodness gracious, why you do this thing?
Packard.
Oh, hush up, Stark. Come on, Jones. Stand up here alongside P.O.
Regular police show up.
Okay, look him over, Jack. Which one looks mean enough to stab a feller in the back?
This is ridiculous.
Pretty hard to tell. He got them all so resentful, that's about all it shows.
Senor, for this I sue you for $10 million, cold cash money.
Yeah? Can't tell much of that. Both Stark and P.O. putting on a big indignation meeting. But how about Jones here?
Got his ears laid back and showing his teeth a little.
Uh-huh. Stubborn and mean. Seen a lot of second and third timers act like that when they've been picked up by police.
Now look here, you call me a crook?
Ain't calling you nothing, son. Just trying to get a line on you.
Well, I came up here in good faith, and I done what I'm supposed to do, and I don't have to take no treatment like this. Mr. Stark, you can take this butlin' job and stick it in your eye. I'm through.
Just a minute, my man. Jones, wait a minute.
I'm going down to the servants' quarter and stay there until I can get out of this place. And you can like it or lump it.
Now then, Long, look what your interfering has done.
Hey, now.
Leaving me without help at a time like this. Maybe you think you're a smart detective, but I think you're a minus double zero, and the quicker you get out of this place, the better I'm gonna like it.
Now look at Mr. Stark.
You'll excuse me. I've got something more intelligent to do than spend any more time in your company. Good morning.
Hey.
Si, senor. Me also, I am true. I am wash up. Good morning. Buenos dias to you.
Hey, Jack. Are we gonna let these people walk out on us like this?
Well, you seem to have started something you can't finish.
My doggone their measly hides. I'll go drag them back with my bare hands.
No, let them go.
Let them go?
Yeah. How about you, Ben? Don't you want to walk out on us, too?
No, I think I'll stay and see the end of the show. Besides, you're going to need somebody to help you get that body downstairs and out to the tool shed.
Yes.
I don't get this, Jack. Every time it looks like we're just about to pin something on somebody, the whole thing blows up in our faces.
For instance?
Well, for instance, you and A.J. Ben there acting like a couple of bosom friends when we know doggone well it was him that busted the window and shot off his pistol so somebody could get that there locket.
Ben and I act like bosom friends?
Yes, you do, doggone it. And then we start pinning something on Brother Stark and Pio and Jones, and what do? But up and walk out on us, and nobody so much as says boo to stop them.
And I can tell you something else very peculiar, too.
What's that?
Wasn't Bruce Garrett supposed to be waiting out in the hall?
That's right. Garrett!
Queer, those shots didn't bring him running to find out what happened.
Something's been nagging at the back of my mind ever since this happened, and I couldn't think what was wrong. Garrett, of course!
Hey, he ain't out here in the hall. And what about the girls? Where'd they get to?
They went to Jerry's room. Go see if they're all right.
You betcha.
We've got to check up on Garrett, and I want to get out to the stables, but we can't leave this body here.
The quickest way to get it down would be to drop it out the window in the soft snow. He'd land right alongside the path.
Good. Give me a hand.
All right.
Here, take his feet. We'll drop him feet first.
Stiff as a plank. Won't hurt him anyway.
Yeah, right out the broken window. Can you pull the blanket aside?
Yeah.
Let him go!
There. Went in feet first and disappeared.
Take just a minute to dig him out.
Yeah, it's all right about Jerry and Miss Stark. They're in it. Hey, where's the other corpse?
Out the window.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Well, that was the quickest. What about the girls?
They're in Jerry's room. Gail's got a splitting headache and a sick to the stomach feeling. Jerry's keeping some cold compresses on her head.
All right, then. Let's go.
Huh? Where to now?
See what Bruce Garrett's up to, and then head for the barn.
On account of the corpse having hay froze to him.
That's where he came from, so that's where the trouble probably is. You coming with us, Ben?
Yes, I think I will.
I looked in Garrett's room. He ain't there.
No, he wouldn't be. We'll look up in the tap room and the trophy room. If he's not there, we'll hit for the barn.
I'll take the tap room.
You might ask Stark if he's seen him.
Yeah. If he's in the trophy room, yes, he is. Mr. Stark, have you seen Bruce Garrett?
No, I haven't. And I wouldn't tell you if I had. I'm through with you people, so keep out of my way.
Now, that's no way to take this.
I'm warning you. Keep out of my sight and close the door behind you.
Well, that's putting it plain enough.
Yeah. I can't make out whether he's really that angry or if he's taken that attitude to cover up his real position.
I'd say he was pretty thoroughly aroused.
You know, Ben, if you'd make your position clear in this business, you'd make my job a lot easier.
I don't know what you're talking about, Packard. Who do you think I am, anyway?
If you're not...
Nope. Nobody in the tap room. How about in yonder?
Nobody but Stark. Come on. Grab some heavy coats out of the hall closet here. We're going to the barn.
Yeah, liable to freeze the guy's ears. Thermometer says 10 below. I don't know who belongs to this, but she fits pretty good.
Okay, that's good. Here we go.
The Mr. Man are tagging along?
I am.
We'll go through the kitchen.
Yeah, it's to the back door. P.O.'s got the path dug out to the barn.
Okay, pull in your ears.
Ooh, man, oh, man. Oh, it's like stepping in a couple of hopped-up refrigerators. I swear to my grandma it is.
Yeah, P.O. did a good job. Snow walls banked up a good 6 feet on each side of the path.
Yeah, P.O. must be a regular snowplow when he gets it going.
Along about here is where we drop the body into the snow.
Want to find it?
No, we'll dig it out on the way back.
Uh-huh. Oh, but doggone, he's even got a turn in the path.
Probably following the regular path. A lot of pitfalls and brush up here, I imagine.
Yeah, be kind of interesting to see this place in the summer without no snow. Probably wouldn't even know the place.
Hey, quit flinging your arms around.
Huh?
Knocking snow off the walls down my neck.
Uh-oh. Well, here's a turn in the runway. Around the corner. Hey, Jack, look yonder.
A body lying in the path.
Come on!
Who the heck is it?
Hold it.
Sure, turn him over.
It's Bruce Garrett.
Jack, looky here. His left leg's caught in a bear trap.
Bear trap?
Bear trap.
He must have been running down this here path and stepped into the bear trap and it thrown him.
That's right. Look, he fell forward and hit his head on this chunk of ice. There's blood. Is he dead?
No, not yet anyway.
Doggone, setting bear traps for human beings. What kind of two-tailed skunk do you suppose...
Get down! Where'd that shot come from?
From the barn, I think.
Yeah, there he is in the haymow. Guy with a rifle. Duck, he's aiming this way. Whee! Means business. Now, who'd be mean enough to try to murder a guy at 10 degrees below zero?
I never saw him before. How about you, Ben?
A new one on me. But it looks like a fight to the death.
Yeah, man. Blood all over the snow, looks like.
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Moki O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
For our swing fans, Columbia offers you Benny Goodman and his orchestra coming to you from the Manhattan Room in the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City.
Lovely face. The stars dim.
became enchanted. There in the blue, I gave my heart to you. It's so heavenly.
Benny Goodman and the boys pay a musical tribute to the land of swing, dear old Southland. Martha Tilton returns to sing that delightful current favorite, So Many Memories.
Benny Goodman and the boys get away with that 1 o'clock jump.
WABC, New York.
How do you do, everyone? For our swing band, Columbia offers you Benny Goodman and his orchestra, coming to you from the Manhattan Room and the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. Was when Benny Goodman and the boys took that 1 o'clock jump. And now we feature the Benny Goodman Trio, Gene Krupp at the drums, Teddy Wilson at the piano, and Brother Benny Goodman himself at the clarinet, giving us their version of Body and Soul. Take it, Benny. And now here's Martha Tilton to sing that swing trilogy, Me, Myself, and I. The Benny Goodman Quartet. Gene Cooper at the drums, Teddy Wilson at the piano, Lionel Hampton at the vibraphone, and Benny Goodman on the clarinet playing Sweet Sue. rhythm is still riding high, cause it's sleepy time down south. Benny Goodman and the boys are fixing to beat it out with that camel hop. Come to you from the Manhattan Room in the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. Melvin Allen speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ah, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please visit our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. Hey, see you next time.